Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, our children are gone. Our family are falling apart. We as a nation have a total failure.
Oh, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Heal our land. And we turn.
Today we're going to be talking about being a witness for Christ. You know, sometimes we get complacent in our daily lives and we forget that commandment. We forget that he said, go all ye into the land and tell them about me. Preach this gospel. So the title of our show today is Tell Somebody About Jesus Christ. When was the last time that you sincerely did that? And on the flip side of that, you know, we're going to discuss what it really means to be a witness for Christ. Because, see, some people think that they have the simple misconception, maybe through no fault of their own, that simply it's just a word of mouth thing, that you don't have to live any other way. You don't have to live what you're saying. So we're going to be looking at that today, and discussing that in no uncertain terms, just by the very word of God. Now, I always say at the beginning of my show, you know, we don't argue the word of God. It just is what it is. You don't have to agree with me, but this is what the word says. If you have a different opinion or a different interpretation, well, that's fine for you. But as for me and my house, is what thus saith the Lord. So if you want to join me here, you can call in at 516-531-9550. Or you can log in on blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. And you can participate in the chat room. But if you're going to participate in the chat room, you need to actually sign in. If not, you'll just be a guest and you only will be able to listen. So right now we want to play a few songs for you. Always got to get a little praise and worship going before we get started. So we're going to start with I'll Be a Witness with Timothy Wright, Tell Somebody by Committed, and Tell Somebody About Jesus by Jerron Nurse. Yeah, I know I had to get a little Caribbean soul in there. So I'll be right back after this.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you've done great things. I'm standing here because you've done great things. I'm existing because you've done great things. Great is your faithfulness. Tell somebody great things. He's done great things for me. He's done awesome things for me. He's done mighty things for me. That's why I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hey, yes, Jesus. Hey. Glory, glory, glory. Take your seats in here, but I feel a shout right here.
All righty. That was Byron Cage, I Will Bless the Lord. And before that, it was Jerron Nurse, Tell Somebody About Jesus. And at the beginning of the set, it was I Will Be a Witness by the late Reverend Timothy Wright. Amen. So today's title of the show is Tell Somebody About Jesus. And as I was saying earlier, you know, sometimes we get the misconception that it's just a word of mouth thing and not a lifestyle change. Amen. So again, if you want to be, this is Pastor Leona Ross on Block Talk Radio, If My People. If you want to be a part of the show, you can call in at 516-531-9550. If you have a comment, you can push 1 to comment. And if you just want to listen online, you can log in at blogtalkradio.com/RRL345. If you want to enter our chat room, you'll immediately be put in. However, you won't be able to type or comment unless you log in. So now that we've gotten the logistics out of the way, let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you for this time. Lord God, we thank you for provision. Lord God, I thank you for our leaders, Lord God, Apostle James Lorenzo Rutledge and Pastor Vicky Rutledge, without whom I would not be where I am today. Lord God, we thank you for our chief apostle, Dr. S.B. James, and Mother James, all the EPC saints worldwide. God, we send this word out, Lord God, for healing of our nation, Lord God, for forgiveness of our sins and of the sins of our forefathers, Lord God, that all generational curse are broken by the very blood of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord God, let this word pierce somebody's heart, Lord God. Let the meditations of my mouth and the words of my heart, Lord God, be acceptable in thy sight. Now decrease me, Lord God, and increase you even the more. Let your Holy Spirit rule, rest, and abide now, Lord God, that the body of Christ, Lord God, might be edified. Amen and amen. We are talking about Tell Somebody About Jesus. And the first question that we have to ask today is, What was Jesus' gospel? What was his gospel? What did he tell the disciples to do? See, if not, you know, at Mark 16:15-16, he said, go ye unto them. This is what he said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't have a specific number of people. He just said, go to everybody. So when we tend to pick and choose who we want to talk to, no, we're walking in disobedience, because that's not what he said. He said, go to everybody and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, we're at Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16. Go ye into the world, all the world, and preach the gospel unto every creature. And he that believeth is baptized and shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. Now, nowhere in this scripture did he tell you to argue about what you were saying to them. He said, just give them the opportunity. And if they believe, hey, they'll be saved. If they don't, they shall be damned until which at which time they decide that, okay, I heard what that person said, it makes sense, or until they get to a place in their life when they don't have anything else but to call out or to cry out unto God. Because, see, there is no other way out. The only way out that they know or that they think that they can get out is by the word of God. See? So then they'll pay attention to it. See? When calamity comes, most of the time, you know, that's how we get introduced to Christ anyway. That's how we take heed of Christ. Our grandparents and mothers in the church when we were growing up told us, you know, and we didn't want to listen to them people. They didn't know what they was talking about. We were just trying to have fun. And so is the world today. People are just trying to have fun. They're not trying to live their life according to God's laws, according to God's commandments, not realizing that grace will eventually come to an end. See, when you're going to have to answer for that which you've done, for the sins that you have committed. So it's just not grace alone, which I know is popular for some people to say these days. It's popular for some people to say, well, hey, he said I'm saved, so I'm saved. See, but is that all you need? Is that, you know, is believing all you need to make God's kingdom? Because in that, if that was the case, then why at John 5:14-15, after Jesus healed the lame man, he came to him and he found him in the temple, and he said to him, he said, go. He said, listen. After Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, look, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. Why would he tell him to sin no more if all he had to do was believe? He had the evidence of healing. He could walk. He said, take up that bed and walk. Get up and walk. Don't lay down no more. Get up and walk. And immediately the man took up his bed and he walked. But then when he saw him, he didn't even know. Listen, he didn't even know who Jesus was. All he knew is that a man came to him and said, take up that bed and walk. That's all I know. So when the scribes and Pharisees was questioning him, he could not tell them who he was. It wasn't until later on when he was in the temple rejoicing and Jesus came and he saw him and he told him. He said, now you've been made well. In other words, you've been restored. You've been reconciled. So don't go back into your sinful ways. The worst is going to happen to you. See? So it's not just the thing of knowing Christ and having that him as a part of our life, but it's being the living evidence. We have to be a living example of what Christ has done in our lives. We cannot just believe, oh, yes, I believe God. Oh, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. But you're doing everything that the world is doing. Where is the difference? If that were the case, why would he say, come out from among them? How would he tell us this? See? See? He said, come out from among them. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, he says, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing and I will receive you. Now, he's just not talking about the physical touch as it was in the law. If they touched the dead body or whatever, they were deemed unclean for a time period and had to stay outside the camp. No, he's talking about a lifestyle change. See, he's talking about a lifestyle change. He's talking about how you live it. Because first of all, everybody know you, your own personal self. If somebody comes to tell you about something, they come to witness to you and you say, well, you ain't doing that. And then you later see them, you know, in a compromising position or in a place where they shouldn't be. And then you thinking twice about it. Well, how they gonna tell me? Hypocrites. That's the first thing gonna come to your mind. Hypocrites, how you gonna tell me this and you doing the same thing that you told me not to do? This is the problem that Jesus had with the scribes. He said, you lay all these laws on these people, you know, but you don't even live by them yourself. You're a hypocrite. How can you tell them how to live and what to do and you're not doing it? See? Hypocrisy. And that's a problem even today in the church, especially when we're talking about telling somebody else, you know, how to live, and at the same time we're not living. See? And then again, in John chapter 8, and if y'all can turn there, because we're going to actually go over this for a little bit, because I really want you to understand exactly what it means, you know, to truly be a witness for Christ. And I'm talking about a living, sanctified witness for Christ, where you don't bring reproach upon his name. See? That you're holy because he is holy, as it says in the word. John chapter 8. And this is when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And we're going to start at verse 2. And it says, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple and all the people unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now, I always have a question about this, because if she was caught in adultery in the very act, and they just brought her, well, where's the man? See the hypocrisy? She was caught in the very act. Shouldn't it be two people there? You just brought a woman. Where's the man? She was caught in adultery, right? Okay, so both of them are sinning. So where's the other willing participant? This is the hypocrisy that I'm talking about. And more than likely, as we will read on and see, he was standing out there right with him, ready to stone the very person he was just with. I'm just saying. So it says in verse 5, now Moses, this is still the people speaking, the scribes and Pharisees, they still speaking to Jesus. Now Moses in the law commanded us. See, they good at telling you what the word says, but just not living by it. See, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? What do you say? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He was ignoring all this stuff they were saying because he already knew they wasn't living right, and he already knew what their motive was, what the underlying motive was. See? So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you. See? He didn't say, he that is without sin. He says, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast the stone at her. See, so what he's telling them, listen, y'all look at y'all own self. While y'all trying to condemn this lady who just y'all just said was caught in the very act, but all y'all here, and where's the other person? But she guilty alone by herself. This is what she did. But what did you do? So look at yourself in the mirror. See, while you trying to be a witness for her stoning against her. See, while you trying to be the witness to come against her. Look at your own self. See, so then after that, in verse 8, again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which had heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they knew what they knew they was guilty to. They know they didn't have a right of a grasshopper swallowing a gnat, or a gnat swallowing a grasshopper, of accusing this woman without being found guilty themselves. Their own conscience. And they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. See? So all the ones that was accusing her saying, oh, she need to be stoned. Oh, this is what the law say. Oh, this is what she did. Had to look in the mirror and look at themselves and got convicted. And you know what? My hands ain't even clean. So what I'm going to do? Let me put this down. Shoot, man, I can't stone her. Let this be me in this instance tomorrow. See? And then after all them went out, verse 9 continues, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto the woman, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. See, and we remember in Romans 8 and 1, it says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to condemn you from your sin. I am here to reconcile you back to God. And many times, folks go out, and I'm going to say church folks, because there's a difference between church folks and saved folks. Church folks go out, and want to tell people about their sins. They tell you what you shouldn't be doing, tell you how you're not living right. See, they judge you on your lifestyle and the things that they see with their own fleshly eyes. While at the same time, some of those same things they're doing behind closed doors, out of the hindsight of every other church member. Although others may know it, they won't speak of it, see, because they're elder or they're deacon or they're pastor, and that's just disrespectful. We're going to pray for them. But the Bible says if your brother is caught in a fault with two witnesses, you go and you what? You correct them. You bring it to their attention, and if they don't want to be corrected, then you don't deal with them anymore. Remember, come out from the midst of them. See, some people are in error, and, they just caught up and don't know how to get out. See, they're praying, but sometimes you need somebody to intercede and to war for you in that thing. See, that demonic spirit, don't overtake you, because you can't fight this alone. You just need somebody to touch and agree for your deliverance. But we're talking about willful sin, where you want to do what you want to do and you declare it's okay. See, but he's telling these people, listen, go and sin no more. See, you forget you have been forgiven. Old things are passed away. Now you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Go and walk in the newness. Don't revert back to where you were. See, these people who were accusing her, these people had a religious spirit or a pious spirit. Meaning that they would condemn someone else for pride or piety just to prove a point, while at the same time not fully obeying God's words themselves. See, pious means marked by or showing reverence for deity and devotion to divine worship, or conspicuous religiosity. Nowhere in there does it say salvation. See? Nowhere in there does it say salvation. See, so they're doing it in other words for pride, because they feel like they have the right. I can say this to her because I'm pastor or I'm teacher or what have you. But how are you living? How are you living? And this is what he says, and again, just to give an example, that confessing Christ, that confession is not enough. You've got to live it before you can be a witness. You've got to live it. You want to talk about going out there and telling somebody else about Jesus, but are you living Christ? See? Are you living it? Is your life an example of holiness, of righteousness, of the grace that God has bestowed on you as a child of God? Or are you just claiming the title and you the son of Belial, as he told the scribes and Pharisees? See? Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Let me read that to y'all again. See, because you can cry, Jesus, I'm saved, and I know the Lord, and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, and do all of that in the church house and leave out, you know, and you're the worst person it is. That gets you nowhere if you're not living it. Being the most hateful person in your heart. And you think it's okay. Well, I just wanted to tell y'all it's not. It's not okay. It's not. Because he says in Matthew 7:20, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So you might fool your sisters and brothers and even the pastor, you know, behind the pulpit or your congregation or what have you. You know, you might fool all of them because you got a good shout or you got a good praise or you can do praise and worship so well. See, but at the end of the day, who are you really? Are you truly the embodiment of Christ? Are you truly the embodiment of his Holy Spirit? Are you living holy? Are you living righteous? Are you contending for the faith which once was delivered unto the saints to be that which God has called you to be? See, what's in your heart? See, the Bible clearly says that God, he told Samuel, he said, Samuel, you're looking at his stature, you're looking at his size, but I'm not looking at that because God looks at the heart of a man. So we can't be content just looking at what somebody does and their heart not in it. It's just something to do to be seen. See? Because we have to understand that what we are, why we're compelled to do something is more important to God than what we actually do. So it's just not saying it. It's just not going witnessing because, oh, yeah, we got a witnessing day and we're going to go out today and we're going to witness and we're going to talk to the people and tell them about Jesus and you grumbling at home because it's hot and you don't want to go. You really don't want to go, but you're going because, you know, everybody else in the church is going. That certain brother and sister, you know, that you got your eyes on going. So you want to make sure you be there. See, what's your motive? What's your motive? See, God looks at all of that. See? He looks at all of that. But you know, are you really living Christ when you do that? See? 1 Samuel 16:7, he says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not at his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees, for man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. There's the evidence. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at the very motive of why you want to go out there and talk to these people. Why you want to go out there and tell that young lady, you know, about Christ when and about what she has on and about how she's living her lifestyle or how she's dressing or how he's dressing and how he should change. Why at the same time, when you get behind closed doors, where are you? What are you doing? What's really in your heart? What is your ulterior motive for wanting to witness Christ to people? Is it just so you can fill out your report and say, oh, I talked to these many people today, I got to turn in my report. I got my names and numbers, and you're not concerned at all about their salvation. You're not concerned at all of whether they really were introduced to Christ. You're not concerned at all if whether the words that you spoke to them were relevant to them, and that like in Acts 2, they really pierced their heart, and they say, how can I be saved? See? It wasn't a gospel that was telling the people, oh, you need to do this. No, it was a gospel of giving them an offering Christ to them, saying that I have come. This is what Christ said. I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. This is what I'm offering you. I'm offering you something that you may not know about that might be a little bit better than what you have. But at the end of the day, as the Bible says, choose ye this day. It's going to be their choice. You can't beat them over the head and make them accept Jesus Christ. You're wrong. His word says, by love and kindness have I drawn thee. Not cramming it down somebody's throat. They're not going to hear you, especially this generation. They're not going to hear you because they've seen so much. And it's sad to say, you know, in this season and in this day and time, you know, saying that you are a Christian is suspect. Especially when you can go contrary to what the word of God is. When it said, this is the first and greatest commandment. Love thy neighbor as thyself. But you see now, and especially this day and time, all these doctrines of hate, and they say it's in the name of Jesus. All these doctrines of supremacy and division, but it's still in the name of Jesus. And they will take the word and twist the word and say this scripture backs it up. But what about the rest of the context of the scripture? What about the scripture that is above that scripture and the rest of the chapter as it explains that? See, you just can't take one scripture to base the word of God on. It's a full course meal. See, it's not a buffet. You don't get to pick and choose. But we find people do that to base their opinions or to base their doctrine on, to prove, and many are deceived. And that's what the word says. Be careful. Be careful. See, in these last and wicked days, because many go out to deceive the people. They are wolves in sheep's clothing, and it sounds good, and it makes your flesh feel good. But at the end of the day, are you testing what that spirit is? As it says, test the spirit, find the spirit to see that it is of God. See? Are you testing the spirit by the spirit to see if it is indeed the word of God? Just because it makes you feel, it feels good and it sounds good and it make you jump up and dance and you want to take it in. First John 4:1, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. See? And again, at Romans 16:17-18, this is Paul talking. He said, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, and by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. See, I told you, I'm not going to tell you anything that's not already in the book. See? This is what it says in Romans. Be careful. Because these people are out there. See, and this is what they do. This is what they do. Because it's for their own self-satisfaction. It has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with anything that God has said. That's Romans 16, 17, and 18. See? He says, I appeal to you, brothers. Watch out for this stuff. See, he knew that it was coming. So he's forewarning you. This is what to look out for. See? Be careful of these things because it is indeed coming. This is what people will do. See? I appeal to you to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles. See? There's no division in Christ. Paul had an excellent example in 1 Corinthians 12 when he was talking about the body of Christ. See, I can't be a hand. Hand can't be a foot. You are what you are. But we all need each other in order to operate the way God needs us to fulfill his will in the earth. So then why are there doctrines of division based on color, based on gender, based on denominations? Everybody got their own doctrine. See, if you look back and see the history of the church, you'll see that in the beginning, it was just the church. In the Bible, they called it the way. See, because this was a new way. It wasn't what the Jews had learned in the Torah and the law of Moses. Because now they were saying, okay, I have come to fulfill the law. I'm the one they talked about. This is what Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees. I am the one that was prophesied in Isaiah. I'm the one that the prophets talked about. I am here. I did not come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. I came to bring you reconciliation back unto the Father, that you might be able to communicate again with God as Adam did. But because some people thought that the church had gotten too strict or that what they were teaching was far away from what originally the disciples put out there, everybody decided to get their own denomination, their own doctrine. Some didn't believe in baptism. Some didn't believe in the Trinity, which there is no Trinity because God is a triune being. That's something somebody came up with at a later date. See, everybody had their own belief that you do it this way. But Christ told them to go and preach this gospel, not your gospel. There shouldn't be all these divisions and all these obstacles in churches that's contrary to the word of God. See? But we get caught up, you see, in that pious spirit and in that spirit of religion where it takes you focus more on that than you do on the people. So then how are you going to witness to a lost soul? You can't. If you're bringing religiosity to them instead of the doctrine of Christ to them, you're not going to win them. Because remember, his word says, by love and kindness have I drawn thee. People are going to know if you're genuinely concerned about their salvation or if you're just trying to do it to increase your numbers in church or to increase your tithes and offerings. Come on now. He told the disciples to go out two by two, and he told them not to take anything with them. Don't take anything with them. Freely you have received, so freely what? Freely give. You ain't got to pay me to pray for you. Come on. All this foolishness. People on the street are hurting. They're broken. They need a word from the Lord that is going to change their life. As it says in Acts 2, that is going to pierce their hearts. But it's not going to pierce their hearts if you're not living it, because you don't have it in you. It's not in you. So how can you give what you truly don't have? You're giving empty. That's what you're doing. See? So we see with these examples, with the woman, you know, and again here, as it says in Matthew, and here in Ephesians 5:5, he said, "For this know ye, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." See? You have no inheritance. So what are you doing? You're confessing without any possession. There's no change. You're not a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're the same old person that just put on the name of Christ. So then it is quite evident that there has to be more than just a confession of Christ. There has to be a change in your life, a manifestation of God's living word operating in your life. It's just not good enough to go out there and say, "I know Jesus," and nothing in your life has changed, just to be a part of an assembly. Are a part of a church. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And again, if you need these scriptures, just text me or message me, and I will be happy to send them to you. And I do hope that this is helping somebody to be an effective witness. Not only by word of mouth, but by lifestyle. Because it is so needed in these last days. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Who you was before is passed away. "And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them," not even blaming, not even making you pay for your sins. That's what that means, imputing their trespasses unto them, "and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation." I restored you back to me as it was always supposed to be. "Now then, we as ambassadors of Christ, witnesses of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It don't say just that we might be made the confessors of him. No, the righteousness of him. Jehovah Tsikinu, the Lord God, our righteousness. See, so there has to be an effective change in you. Not that you just go out there and you telling these people things and you say you're talking about Christ and there is no change, or you're judging them for how they look. Jesus simply told them, people, those who didn't know, see, those who he went to the hedges and highways to meet, not the scribes and Pharisees, because they had the law and they should have known. They were not living it. See, that was the difference. Because he went to the people and he would tell them, he say, neither do I condemn you. Listen, this is the Son of the living God, with God himself dwelling on the inside of him, talking to a lady that they just brought to him who had committed adultery. That's what they said. She committed adultery. And he said, where you accused of that, lady? Then neither do I accuse you. So then why? 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 So often. And it's really sad. Why so often when we know people already know they're in sin. They already know they're going to hell. They made that choice. They don't care. They're not trying to serve God. If I go to hell, if they even believe in hell, I'm just going to hell. I made that confession years and years ago. Hey, listen, it don't matter. I'm already living in hell in my life, so I'll just do what I want to do, die and go to hell. What difference is it going to make? My life is horrible. And I'm quite sure I'm not the only person that felt like that. Because, and we reason, you know, that if there really was a God, God would not let me go through this. He would not let me be going through this. That's what he would reason. That's what he would be saying. See? See? If y'all hear that, that's outside noise, y'all. That's not me. I do apologize. My neighbors. See? So we reason that, listen, God don't even care about me, because if he did, I wouldn't even be going through this. But when you can come with a testimony, when you can come and say, hey, this is what God changed me from. This is who I used to be. But by the grace and love of God, I am here today to share my testimony with you. We can no longer be ashamed of our testimony. We can no longer be ashamed of what God has brought us out of. Because there is a young lady, a young man, or a little child out there that's going through the very same thing that God brought you out of, that he gave you the grace and mercy to live through, so that you could go and tell somebody else about it, that there is hope. That's what the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See? Christ in you, you receive Christ to be their hope for his glory. But what are you doing with the hope? Are you honestly sharing the hope? Are you living in a way that when people see you, oh, yeah, she's the same everywhere I see her, whether she at Walmart, whether she at grocery store, whether she in church, you know, whether she at work, she the same. Or do you have all these different personalities for whatever situation and nobody can tell whether you are a believer in Christ? Christian has been so tainted by all the wrongdoings of the ones that people look up to, that, amen, a Christian, you know, Christianity doesn't mean anything. I'd rather be a believer. Especially in this U.S. of A, where it seems anything goes, and you can still be called a Christian, because it's okay, because some church out there is going to accept you and tell you that the lifestyle that you're living is okay, but that is not what the word says. And there are those out there who really needs to understand that and to differentiate that and to be able to see that in a people who truly are holy. I said holy, not perfect. Because as long as we're in this flesh, we are going to make mistakes. We will err. See? But see, it's a difference between sin and willful sin when you know and you do it anyway. See, that means you just don't care. See, and Christ really not in you. Are there still some things in you that you really need to be delivered from, that you just need to give to God and sincerely seek his face to be free? You're not totally free yet. But once you are able to live a life that exemplifies Christ. You are able to witness with somebody. You're able to minister to somebody and understand the struggle because you've been there, been there. And you're able to stand with them, to pray with them, to intercede with them, and bring them out without condemnation. The apostle's favorite scripture is, one of them is love hides a multitude of sin. See? When somebody confides in you, it's not for you to go tell the world or to tell their family or to tell their friends. It's for you to pray because they trust you. They trust you. And there's no greater blessing than for somebody to trust you with their innermost faults, their innermost secrets. See? Because they're trusting you to stand with them through the deliverance process. See, that they're going to come out just like you came out. And if God did it for you, how much more so can he not do it for them? See, that's why you're their hope. That's why you're their hope. That's why. Because once they see you walking upright and righteously, you know, no longer downtrodden and discouraged and depressed and whatever you were, at whatever state you were in. But the joy of the Lord is now your strength. You have on the full armor of God to combat every plot, plan, and scheme of the enemy. So now you're able to teach them to fight and to resist temptation when it comes upon them. They won't know unless you teach. But it all starts by being an effective witness. It all starts by living what you're preaching. It all starts with living what you're teaching. Because really, you can't tell me anything. You can't tell me anything if you're not living it. How can you tell me how to be saved and how to live righteous if, you know, you out here doing the same thing I'm doing and you're in the same places that I am at? There is a difference. See? That's why he admonished us to come out from among them and be ye separate. See? Because he told you. He said you are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. See? A holy nation. A peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into the marvelous light. That's 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 2 and 9. See, you were chosen for this. See? Chosen for this. In order that somebody else may be able to come out. Somebody else may be able to know that, hey, God does exist. God is real and God is concerned about me. See?
Now we got to bind the will out of Italy. This is crazy. Thank you, Lord.
See? So that you might know. God is real. Know who you are in God. Know who you are in God. When you go and witness, you don't need to be ashamed of what you've been through. That's going to help somebody else. That's going to bring them out. That's going to cause them to believe and know that, hey, God is real. I didn't just go through this for nothing. And later on down the line, they'll be a witness to somebody else. we go through for the generations that's coming behind us, not for us. We learn the lessons now so that we can show somebody else the way. We expect God to do everything, but God is not coming out of heaven, I'm sorry, people, and manifest himself to tell somebody that he is real. People see that God is real through the life that we need, to the testimony that we share, through the things that we go through. When we become witnesses, that's how we become effective witnesses. That's what it means to overcome by the words of your testimony. Your testimony is for somebody else. Your trials and tribulations are for somebody else. Who can believe that God will heal someone from cancer when the doctor tells them you only got 6 months to live? And 12, 15, 20 minutes, 20 years later, you still living if you don't tell somebody that, hey, this was my prognosis, this is what they said, but I went to the elders in my church, I went to apostle, they prayed, and I'm still living. Who has the final say so? How would they ever know that if you just keep it to yourself? How would they ever know that, hey, yeah, I was in an abusive relationship, but I prayed not even knowing God, still in sin, and God delivered me. He showed me the way out. See? Took you to a place so you could start over without fear, without abuse, if you don't tell anybody, if you don't share that. And not be ashamed. Your testimony is to empower you, see, and to cause you to have a stronger faith and a stronger belief in what God can do. We go from glory to glory to glory, because if he did that way back then, how much more so can he do for you now? The woman at the well, she encountered Jesus. Jesus asked for water. And she said, how you going to get water? You don't even have nothing to pour with. Still in her flesh, looking at the condition. See? And that's how we look sometimes. We miss opportunities to witness because we're looking at the condition of a person rather than seeking the purpose that God may have for their life. Why did God send this person to me? What is it that I can share with them that's going to change their life, that's going to change the rest of their day? What words of life can I speak to them that they don't leave my presence the same way that they came? Jesus told her, see, now if you would ask for the water I give you, it's life-giving, and you wouldn't even thirst no more. She said, well, hey, give me that water. Piqued her interest. Then he began to tell her. He actually said, well, go get your husband. And she said, I don't have no husband. She said, well, lady, you speak the truth, because you have had five, and even the man you with now is not your husband. And she ran back, so amazed. She said, you know, We been at this well. This was our father, you know, Jacob's well, and we drank, and our animals drank, and all of that. But none of that mattered to Christ. None of that mattered to Christ. It didn't. All that past stuff didn't. The here and now is what mattered. I have life for you now. Those things are in the past. And I can change your life if you allow me. See? She said, oh, but we know the Messiah gonna come. She said, I am he. She was so excited. She didn't even ask for her deliverance. She went and told the whole town, everybody else, there's a man. Hey, it's a man at the well. Hey, it's a man at the well. He told me everything about me that I ever did. She was just so amazed. Do we have a word like that down on the inside of us? That's going to be go beyond amazing peace, but it's going to have them to cause them to thirst for that change, not to just run and tell everybody else, but to thirst for that change in their own life. Yeah, he told me this, but hey, listen, I want that. I want it for real, and I want to change. Tell me how you did it. Tell me how you go from being an abused wife to living happy and free. Tell me how you go from being suicidal, not wanting to live, but wanting to live for Christ. Tell me how you get over being molested, feeling less than nothing, to finding your self-worth in Christ. Tell me. How did you do that? Tell me how you get in a place in God that all those who abuse you, all those who hurt you, all those, you know, who really just cause your life to be in shambles. How when you really found Christ, you was able to forgive them. He was able to be like Christ on the cross and say, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do. Or even if they did know what they were doing to you. See? You still forgave them. Because greater is he that is now down on the inside of you than he that was in the world. So the enemy has no hold on your mind and your thoughts now. Now you can live for Christ. Now you can embody the character of Christ because now your heart has changed. Remember, you're a new creation in Christ. He said, I will place the words. No man needs to have any man to teach them because I will put a new heart in them. And my word will be written on what? It'll be written in their hearts. See, so it's impossible for you to go back to that old person that you used to be because now you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So you can't go back to what you once were. Can't go back to that. It's impossible. Can't go. That would be like coming in and you've been washed clean. You just got out of the shower and let's say you're a mechanic, a really, really dirty job. Okay, a really dirty job, maybe working on a hog farm, and you really smell bad. And so you come in, you shower, you get the good soap, you know, you're smelling really good, and then you go back and you put back on those clothes you just had on. Who does that? Nobody. That's what the Bible says. It's like a dog returning unto his vomit, returning to the things you've been delivered from. You can't do that. See? Because now you truly are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when you are, people can see that. And it's not in the way you dress, it's not in the way you look, but it is in the spirit of the living God. It is in the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that indwells in you. It's that light. It's that you are the light of the world. You. See? You are that light. See why? Because you have been made clean. See? You have been made clean and they can see it. See? And there's no darkness in you. There is no longer any darkness in you. See? So that's how you are able to draw people to you. By his spirit, there's no great thing that we do. He tells us that we are the light of the world and a city that is set on a hill can't be hid. So how are you going to hide your testimony? How are you going to hide what God has delivered you from? There's no need to be ashamed. Again. See? And again, he says that you are the salt of the earth. See? But on the other hand, if you lose your flavor, how can it be made salty again? And it's not good for anything except to be thrown out. See? That's Matthew 5:13 and 14. See? So if we are salt and we are to season his people, we can't double dutch back and forth in the world. We have to be ye holy, for he is holy, if we're going to be effective witnesses. It's not just what we say, it's what we do. It's not just what we say, it's how we live. So let's endeavor to live better, to do better, to be better, so that God's people might be saved. Let's be that light. Let's begin today to endeavor to be that salt. That like at Pentecost, 3,000, 5,000 people say, how can we be saved? Not us telling them, you need to be saved. No, this was my life before Christ, and this is who I am now. See, that living testimony to help those who are lost. As we say, saving the lost at any cost, whatever the cost. Yes, we're going to go. You think the enemy is just going to let you go out there and snatch a whole generation of people out of his hand when he was so secure that he had them deceived and on their way to hell? No. So it's going to be some battle. But we're more than well able and equipped for the fight. And we're able to win. So, just wanted to encourage you today. And I hope you understand truly. I hope these words have edified you today and give you something to think about. Just giving you something to think about. And how to be effective witness of for Christ and living a lifestyle that honors God. This has been Blog Talk Radio, If My People, with Pastor Leona Ross. We will be back here again on next Sunday at noontime. We're going to take you out of here with casting crowns. If we are the body, may God bless you. Stay safe and have a great day.
at the body. Why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing him his way? If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing him his way? Jesus is the way.
If you think me that deny the Christ, we are big house and right, just to live out your nice daughter. We no be down, no price, take no discount, no bribe, we no free that the life out. See your home, you provide every need and supply round every reliant that. And we never fight over. Oh, say, so, Anna, you make it, so you cannot take it away. Once God and I touch my, you can't stop who we be. And you make it, so you cannot take it away. Once God and I touch my, got an appointment with my destiny. Destiny. I got an appointment with my destiny. Destiny. I got an appointment with my destiny. Destiny. I got an appointment with my destiny. Get on a bike. So you number one. Stop from tell your friend them all your plan. God give you a vision, no peace share with everyone. Number two. Whatever you hand find to do, we do it and do it and do it and do it and do. And to the most high, in Yeshua Adonai, I'm a guide and feel. Every plan of mine, I feel like I'm with the Father knew it. Come here, man, no got no talent to render. Your money no good, no bother bring it to spend. Me and the Father give me 10 out of 10. In case I want me a come to 11. Tell the promoter any contract them send. Me not go sign unless the Father consent. Me no bend over bend, me no power from them. Me no keep, no got a problem. So I know you make it, so you cannot take it away. Once God and I touch now, you can't stop who we be. And you make it, so you cannot take it away. Once God and I touch now, got an appointment with my destiny. Destiny. I got an appointment with my destiny. Destiny. I got an appointment with my destiny. Destiny. I got an appointment with my destiny. Get on a bike. Say anywhere we go, we go, we got that. Blessed is the man that walk in nothing and he comes to love the ungodly. But in the last light, he lies. And to the most high, King Yeshua Adonai, I'm a guide and tool. Every plan of mine, I feel like I'm with the Father knew it. Tell them already, I'm going to tell them again. No beg no favor and me nah beg no friend nah. So me no really need no friendship from them. Cause them fake when me smile in your face and pretend nah. Radio station want me till me content. Them with a prefer see the message and send. My dealers in my tongue so them a block the entrance. Like them want me beg your flame from them. Cause if I know you make it, so you cannot take it away nah. Once God and I you touch nah, you can't stop who we be. And you make it, so you cannot take it away. Once God and I touch not, got an appointment with my destiny. Destiny. I got an appointment with my destiny. got an appointment. I got an appointment with my destiny. Destiny. I got an appointment with my destiny. Destiny. I got an appointment. You make it so you cannot take it away now. One got a 90. Say, I know you make it so you cannot take it away now. One got a 90, got an appointment with my destiny, destiny, yes. I got an appointment with my destiny. I've got an appointment with my destiny, yes. I got an appointment.